In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, we ask your word to come to us. Help us to understand that everything works unto good for those of the household of faith. We ask you to inspire us with this confidence, especially as we endure the trials and the tribulations of this life in the hope of the life that is to come. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Okay, so we have one remaining verse. It's our one holdover from last time. So this is Revelation chapter 8, and the only thing that we had left was verse 13. We had just finished, if you remember, that we were doing four trumpets. We had the seven seals on the scroll, and then we have the seven trumpets, and we did four of them last time. That was in Revelation 8. So we were listening to the various things that reminded us of the different plagues in Egypt. You recall that portion from last time. And so now we're going ahead, getting ready for the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh trumpet. So that's sort of where we are situated in this text. Now, before the fifth trumpet blows, we have this last remaining verse of chapter 8. Then I looked, and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew in mid-heaven, "Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth, and at the blasts of the other trumpets which the three angels are about to blow." So there's kind of this pause. If you remember from the seven seals, you had four of them that came in rapid succession, and then there was kind of this little interlude as we were waiting for five and six and seven. And the same thing happens here, except that we have this described as an angel, or as an eagle, flying in heaven. So that word woe, I don't know another good synonym for that. I mean, it's trouble, tumult, be prepared. So now we have that same word woe repeated multiple times elsewhere in the gospel, and so that's why I gave you Matthew 23, because this is probably the other really good description of all of the various things where it's woe unto all sorts of different people. And so in Matthew 23, you can see just this lengthy litany, which we don't need to go into, thorough analysis of each and every one. But woe to the scribes and the Pharisees. Why? Because they're doing these things actively to deter the kingdom of God from coming about. Woe to the scribes and Pharisees. Woe to the blind guides. And as he goes on, I mean, it's just one thing after another. It's just one analogy after another. We have Jesus going through these things. He then continues on, woe to not only the scribes and the Pharisees, the scholars of the law, but then he gives an explanation as to what all of this means, about how it all comes together. And he says that this is in Matthew 23, reading around verse 34 or 35. Jesus is speaking about the plan of God that has come to send prophets and so forth. But some of these you will kill and crucify. Some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from town to town, so that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of innocent Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. Truly, I say to you, this will all come upon this generation. So there's this sense of this waiting retribution, this waiting judgment, waiting for God's justice to come about. And the scribes and the Pharisees, because of their insolence, because of their refusal to listen and to obey, then woe to them, because this is now that retribution coming upon that generation. There's another passage where they mention woe, and this I didn't put this in here before, but I might just look for it quickly. Do you remember the Beatitudes in Matthew's Gospel? Blessed are this, blessed are that, and so forth. But do you remember the Beatitudes in Luke's Gospel? This is Luke chapter 6. In Luke's set of Beatitudes, he says, blessed are the poor, blessed are those who hunger, blessed are those who weep, and blessed are those who are persecuted. But then he goes on and he says, but woe to you who are rich, woe to you who are full, woe to you who laugh, and woe to you when all speak well of you. So there's another example of woe, and that's found in Luke chapter 6 in his Beatitudes. And why does Luke's Beatitudes, why do they fit very well with the themes we've been talking about here? Because we've been describing blessings and curses. Blessings for those who are faithful. Blessed are these people. Curses for those who are unfaithful. Woe to these. Because of what is coming. So So that brings us to the end of Revelation 8. Maybe just one more passage is this notion of this eagle flying in mid-heaven. The word for eagle is the same word that they use in Greek for vulture. And I just gave you this other passage from Luke 17, where in the little apocalypse of the Gospel of Luke, there's kind of like all these things are going to happen in Jerusalem. And he says, where will this happen? Jesus' answer from Luke 17 is to say, where the body is, there the vultures will be gathered together. Now, oftentimes I think your Bibles probably say vultures in Luke 17:37. That notion that there they'll come to feed on the flesh, the rotting flesh, and so forth. But it's the same word as eagle. So I don't know which one you want to consider. Is it the eagle flying in mid-heaven or the vulture flying in mid-heaven saying, whoa, whoa, whoa? Perhaps there's a little bit of a relationship between Luke's apocalypse, in which he speaks about the vulture eagle coming about, and Revelation 8, where we talk about this vulture eagle, whichever you wish it to be. So do you like it more as an eagle? Sounds more noble. Okay, that's right. That's how a lot of the translations render it. But so, if you were to hold the other opinion, you would be on solid footing in the Greek language. So you can read it any way you want, and that's fine.